Isaiah chapter 9. But there's not going to be darkness forever for her who is in distress. In the past, God brought judgment upon the area of Zebulun and the region of Naphtali. But in the future, he's going to make glory appear in the way of the sea, the territory beyond the Jordan River, in Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of deep darkness, a light will shine upon them. Now that's all quoted in the New Testament about Jesus, that he was the light who arose to chase away the darkness for those who were condemned. Now, if you talk to people in the world about, hey, Jesus is the light, can be the light of your life, they don't think that's very wonderful because they don't realize that they're living in darkness. But as you walk around a shopping center or a mall or whatever and you see all this worldly stuff on offer and all the way of the world and people think, oh, that's wonderful, if only I had money to buy this, or if I could get credit to buy that. This is all darkness. And in the midst of that darkness, the light of Jesus can shine so that you see life in a totally new way. You've increased the nation, you've increased its joy. They rejoice in your presence as they rejoice at the time of harvest. And they rejoice as men rejoice when they divide the spoils of war. Well, Jesus is the one who's won the victory, and we are those who divide the spoils. He will break the yoke and the bar of oppression that's laid on your shoulder, the rod of the oppressor, as in the day of Midian. Because every boot of the trampling soldier and all the tumult and all the garments rolled in blood will be just used for fuel on the fire. So all the great armaments of the world are going to be burnt up, as you read of in Ezekiel, and they are going to be turned into agricultural instruments, Isaiah says later. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government is going to be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, the Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So this is clearly talking about Jesus, and his name will be called all these things, including Mighty God. Now that doesn't mean that Jesus is God. He said in John 5, I have come in my Father's name. So you can carry the name of God without being God himself. And so Jesus then, at this time, when he's going to have the government on his shoulder, when his kingdom is established, and it's talking not so much about his birth, but about him being the king of the kingdom forever, when all the darkness will be no more and the kingdom will be his, then he is going to effectively function as God. He's not the same as God, but he will function as God. Of the growth of his government and peace, there's going to be no end. And he'll rule over his kingdom, sitting on the throne of David, to establish it and to uphold it with his righteousness from now and forevermore. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts is going to accomplish this. So his kingdom is going to keep on growing. So you see there that the kingdom is not just going to be sitting still, sort of sitting under your own vine and fig tree, sort of having a nice time in a perfect climate, eating yummy food kind of thing, watching an eternal sunset. His kingdom is going to keep on increasing. And you wonder whether that will involve us taking the gospel to other peoples or other beings on other planets. His kingdom is going to keep on and on increasing, it says here, forever. It shows that the kingdom is essentially his kingship, his being king over us. We are his kingdom, and his reign over us and over all things is going to keep on increasing forever. And he says, from this time on and forevermore. So that just shows that you can be part of his kingdom right now, with his dominion over you. The Lord sent out a word against Jacob, and it fell upon Israel. And all the people were evil, Ephraim and the people of Samaria, because they said proudly, in their hearts. Maybe the bricks have fallen down, but we'll build them up again. The sycamore trees have been cut down, but we'll replace them with cedars. But Yahweh has raised enemies from Rezin against him, and he will stir up all the enemies of his people, Arameans in the east, Philistines in the west, and they're going to devour Israel with an open mouth. Yet for all this, his anger has not turned away, and his hand is stretched out still. So the enemies of Israel are likened to a beast with a huge mouth that is going to close around Israel. And the jaws of the mouth, as it were, are the Syrians in the east and the Philistines in the west. Well, Philistine, it's the same word as Palestine. So you can see that the latter-day beast that the Bible talks about is going to be something like this. It's going to be made up of the enemies around Israel who have, as it were, a huge open mouth ready to gobble up little Israel. But the people have not repented. They have not repented, they have not returned to trust upon him who struck them, nor have they sought out Yahweh of hosts. So for all their suffering, Israel still do not repent. And in the end, though, they will. But this is why there's going to be so much suffering, so that they do. And so Yahweh will cut off from Israel both the head and the tail, the branch and the reed in one day. The elder, who is the head, and the prophet who teaches lies is the tail, because those who guide this people have guided them in the wrong way, and therefore they will be swallowed up, and the Lord will not have pity on their young men, no compassion on their orphans and widows, because each of them has been godless and has done evil, and each one had a mouth which spoke folly. Yet for all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. So their words were so significant to God. It specifically said, because their mouth spoke folly. So let's not think that our words are just words. Words are very, very significant to God. By our words you'll be judged, by your words you'll be condemned, Jesus said. So wickedness burns like an oven that consumes the briars and the thorns. It sets on fire the thickets of the forest, and a column of smoke arises towards the skies. For the wrath of the Lord of hosts has made the land scorched, and the people are become like just firewood for the fire. Nobody will spare his neighbour. They may eat food on one hand, but they'll still be hungry. They can eat other food on the other hand, but they still won't be satisfied, and they will even eat the flesh of their own children. Well, that happened in the siege of AD 70. Manasseh devours Ephraim, and Ephraim devours Manasseh, and they together are against Judah. Yet for all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. This is one of the great tragedies in the history of God's people, of Israel, that they suffered so much, but they didn't repent. All this suffering, and yet no repentance. And you see it in some people's lives. They suffer terrible things, and they still won't come to repent and to accept Jesus. It's really so sad. And that mustn't be like that in our lives, whereby we suffer and have difficulties, and yet we still don't get the point. If you're humble, and if you surrender to God, and recognize his claims upon you, then your life will go so much easier.